Kia ora te whānau, welcome back to Under the Whariki. I'm Ana Tobla.
I'm Tahu.
And you have just us two today. There's no guest.
Just yes. The two of us.
We can make it if we try. So it's just us two. And there'll probably be a lot of giggling, and that's okay. Mm. I feel like that's how we like... We do it.
We communicate.
That's how we communicate. Yeah. A lot of giggles. But we are going to be having a little chat about mental health and self-care and just overall well-being. It's just going to be us two.
Love it.
Love it. Love this for us.
To open, as always, we have our ye na na ye.
Ye na. Oh, ye. Yeah.
And the kaupapa.
We can just judge each other now.
Is.
magic.
Sorry, no, I've ripped it and there's hair everywhere. Should butter be kept in the fridge?
Wow. Good question.
Should butter, my butter.
My hesitation on making a direct answer is because I don't actually have, like, quote unquote, butter anymore. I have Olivani.
Oh, right.
And Olivani.
Olivani.
Yeah, Olivani, for those who don't know, is like
the
for.
The devil's. Olivani, for those of you that don't know, is like the devil's blood. You wouldn't wish it upon your worst enemy, so.
For us vegans, I'm sorry, I said the V word. I can't have like the beautiful block of Anchor butter, like the hard, just a. Right. Oh, I just can't.
So Olivani has to be kept in the fridge?
Well, I mean, it's up to you. It's like, it can be kept in the fridge. It doesn't
it's
need
spreadable
to.
In the fridge.
It's going to survive either way.
Yeah.
But regarding, like, if I back in the day when I would have, like actual, like, real butter, like, with, like bakery bread. Mm. Oh, my God, why is my mouth, like, salivating right now? It's been so long. I'm suppressed. Yeah. Is definitely outside of the fridge. Mm. So, nah, yeah? Outside of the fridge?
Yeah, nah, yeah.
Nah, yeah. Yeah. Outside of the fridge.
Outside the fridge. Kept in the fridge. If you're not using that block of butter, and maybe, or just for cooking purposes.
Yeah.
But for spreading.
It's got to be soft.
Now,
you know, the worst is when it's like
hard. And you're like, fucking, oh my God.
And my toast is
greater.
Oh. And the toast is like separated, or the real, like, you know, the big
bread. Oh, there's nothing worse than, oh my God, going into a sandwich and going to butter it.
Oh.
And you split the bread. Now you have to put sauces in, and now you're getting sauce on your fingers. Oh
yeah. And also the bread just tastes different.
Yeah.
Just tastes worse. It just does not do. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I'm with this.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway.
Yeah, mental health. What a segue. Seamless segue into mental health and self-care. What's some things you do for self-care?
Oh my God, good question, Tahu. Let me take a sip of my Powerade.
There's one self-care. Sugar. Yeah.
I think for me, what's helped so much is like to replenish me after a hard week is like I love to journal. I love writing.
Oh my! The way you, honestly, the J word, like I don't know, to replenish me. I love to jerk off.
I mean, like, yeah. I love to journal. But I mean, hey, like all the other things is great for you too. It's really good for your mental well-being. But if I was gonna choose one, I'd say journaling's like helped me a lot. Just because like I'm just such a over everything. I'm overthinker, I'm an overfeeler. Everything is so intense. So like for me to be able to put everything from my mind onto paper, to me to make sense of it, but also to give me a chance to digest it all.
It kind of earths it.
Yeah, and it makes it real. And it makes it something tangible. And it means that, do you know Harry Potter? Right? You know when Dumbledore has like a, I can't remember what it's called, but he like puts his memories away into this.
Yes, into that big jar.
Yeah,
And
it means that he can go back and retrieve it if he needs to, but mostly it's away from his mind.
Yeah.
And I often think about that with journaling for me. I'm like, I just need to like give myself a moment of breather, like give me a break. So I'd say journaling / jerking off is just the best thing in the world for me. Yeah, so journaling's helped. I love to read. Like, reading is, like, the best thing in the world for me. Like reading and writing is like my sanctuary for sure. And just swimming in the Moana.
Nice.
I found that's helped so much. Like swimming in the Moana, taking my dog for a walk, him running around and me just jumping in. Like especially when it's really cold, like just wakes me up. And I think also what it does, especially when I'm trying to like trying to experience joy when I'm not feeling so much of it, I think it really humbles me and it makes me feel like, oh, you're not the only, you're the most important thing in the world. And what you're feeling right now is it's going to have its turn, it's going to have its moment, but like it will pass and it's okay to feel all the things right now. So I feel like the ocean just really grounds me and I feel really connected to who I am as a Pacifica woman when I'm in the ocean. So I'd say those things probably. And jerking off,
yeah.
What about you?
I think I'm really unintentional about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I don't intentionally go out seeking self-care or think actively about caring for myself more than anything. Probably because I find so much joy in all the stuff I do that it's not too... I don't think it's too deflating. The only thing that I really struggle with is being away from home for long periods of time.
Right.
So at the moment, I'm on a 3-week bender of work, pretty much.
Yeah.
And this is what my life pretty much looks like. We stay at our house a week a month, like 1 week per month, pretty much.
Wow.
And that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like when I get back from working stints, it's like I think I take a self-care day in the form of shutting out the world.
Mm.
Like I really, really like not talking to people.
Yep.
As I'm sitting here on this talk show.
As we're having this deep conversation.
No, I really, really like not interacting with people for a day.
Yeah.
Like it's like one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
To just like lie at my house and just shut the world out.
Not speak.
Binge Netflix. I don't want Che's opinion on anything. Like, like, you know, don't consult to me about what Rip's doing in Yellowstone. Like, I love him. Don't talk about him. We don't need to keep saying we love him. Like, I like that. Just And she's really good at that too. Like,
giving her space.
Yeah, we would just like take a day and sometimes she'll just lie in the bed or we'll just mosey around doing our own thing. I'll do a couple emails at the office and then just like I stay in the lounge, we'll do something else. Or I just like mow my lawns. Oh, mow my lawns. That's probably a self-care
thing. Do you like that?
It's like one of my most prideful, favorite things in the world. Yeah.
Do you have a type of like way you do it? Where you like, you
my grass grows on an angle because of the way I do it.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, because it shows the lines.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you judge other people's mowing?
So bad.
You're like, like shit.
Like, I drive down my street. And just like with the biggest grin every time, looking at all these shit lawns around my beautiful one.
Do you ever like show yours and be like,
I honestly do. I put it on my story like, look at that beautifully mowed lawn. Yeah, so I think that's one for me. I do that like once, twice a week.
Wow.
Obviously, the Moana is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Fishing, diving. Last year, it was really like actually pretty interesting because we worked for so long, and every single time we had a break, it seemed like the weather just didn't want me to go. So I think I went like 6 months
without going
on the Moana. And for people that know me, like during the summer, I pretty much live on my boat, like take it everywhere, go out every day I can. Like anytime the weather's permitting, I'll be out there. So like I went 6 months, and when I went back to, I went home and I went for a fish. And I think I went out by myself. I like just broke down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like I needed to get back and like get
Center
my
yourself.
Why. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause and why being a whakanoa thing in Māori, like as a thing to take away the tapu.
Yeah.
And for me, it's an actual proper stress reliever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like just sat there just crying out in the morning. Like, and it wasn't about anything.
No.
Like I just like started like crying for myself.
You just needed to cry.
Yeah.
You needed to cry.
Yeah. And I think because I really don't often cry for things. Not because I'm not I can't emotionally display that I'm upset or something. It's just not the way that my way processes it.
Yeah.
Like, I like to internalize things first before I outwardly
express it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably. I don't know. I haven't gone to counseling for it, so.
That sounds about right, though.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds right.
Sounds good
to
me.
Yeah, it works for me. Yeah, yeah.
But that's that's the thing, right? If it works for you.
Yeah.
I feel like people often think, like, they have to go and try all these different things that makes sense to other people, so it must make sense for them, but they don't actually go on a journey of figuring out what works for them. And, like, sometimes it may be sitting and talking to someone else, or maybe it's sitting out in the moana and going fishing, or maybe it's, you know, sitting in your bed and journaling, like, or jerking off.
Yeah, actually.
Who knows? Like, it's
masturbation is, like, such a beautiful
thing. So good
thing
for you.
When you're in a relationship.
Yep.
Because, like, you're only ever just having sex with your partner.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, you know, that's the best shit too.
Yeah, we love it.
Don't get me do not get me wrong. Hey, Jay, thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you,
don't
Jay.
Think I'm not grateful. But when you get to have, like, a moment for yourself and remember, like, how much you make yourself feel good. Yeah, feel good. It's really, really nice.
I feel like, you know what, for masturbation for me, I feel like as a Tongan woman, sex and sexuality is something that we just don't often talk about.
Yes.
And there's so much shame, like deep shame. And, like, trying to find ways to, like, really excite yourself through pleasure is something so important for everyone.
Yeah.
But, like, I think as someone who's grown up with so much conservatism, and, like, sex was only to do when you're married with a man to have babies. Like, that was really what it was about. It wasn't about, like, to do this so that you can feel good or...
In the Bible way that it's been changing.
Absolutely.
That's
in the Bible
way that it's changed them.
Yeah.
Because they would have had their own indigenous practices.
100%. My ancestors are getting it down. Yeah, I love that for them. And I hope one day that can be the part, because it's like, I think we really villainize sex as in, like, this dirty, yuck thing. But why is it that something that feels so good or brings us so much pleasure and joy could be something so tainted by the world? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like anything that makes you feel good, you should totally do.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. For me, I'm real clear. Sex is...
It's beautiful.
My favorite.
Love it. We love it here.
Yeah, we love it. And it's just, like, the best... possible activity.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yeah.
Oh, well, for some.
Hey, yeah, right?
Yeah, for some. Yeah.
It's the oldest job in the world, though. Sex
work. Prostitution.
Yeah.
Yes, it
sex
was.
Work. Sex work is the oldest job in the book.
The oldest profession ever. Yes.
Because as humans, that's what we like. That's what we want. And if you don't have an intimate partner like that, then where do you find it?
Yeah.
Someone else.
Don't you think that's so funny? That's how economics work. They're like, all right, what's the first thing we need?
Sex.
Yeah,
sex. We're tech. We got it covered.
If we cover this market off, then
and it's
everything else should just flow.
Exactly. It's a beautiful job, and obviously we want it for people who are of age who choose to do it.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful thing. I think sex is a beautiful thing, and I think it's so tied to our mental health and our mental well-being. And I think that's what we often forget about is, like, our mental health and our physical health and our emotional health and our spiritual health and our connections to our families and who we are. All of that is, like, so connected.
Yeah.
Like, if one thing is falling short, then we're going to feel in all the other things.
Yeah. It's like sex, especially with a partner that you love, It's the feeling of being wanted that you yearn for. Like, because, you know, like, not everyone tells you at work, like, I want you here to do this. You're so valuable to me. You know, like, it's not like you're reaffirmed that all the time.
Yeah.
But sex with your partner is a confirmation.
A beautiful thing.
Of want. Yeah. Someone wants me. Mm. Yeah.
Desire. Desire is really important for people, eh?
Yeah. Well, I think particularly for men.
Yeah.
In particular, like, that's something that men, I reckon, yearn for. And it's really...
To be desired themselves?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because they express it so often to everyone else. Like, they're just hoping it comes back.
Right.
And
I think... you look good in them jeans.
Yeah. Like, honestly, how often I compliment, like, my little sister-in-laws, my little sisters, my mum, like, hi, mama, you look beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, things like that. But I never go to my dad. Fucking handsome, dad.
Yeah, you look great. You look beautiful, dad.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, every day I see my mum, I'll say,
yeah.
Oh, you look beautiful today, mama. Like, or whatever, you know, yeah. Sisters. Oh, you look stunning.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not often.
That it gets reciprocated?
Yeah. Yeah.
So tips for the ladies.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, compliment the men in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love complimenting people. Mm. But what I do find sometimes is people often think it's flirting.
Yeah.
And I think we have to really move away. I mean, sometimes obviously there is flirtation if it's intentionally that way. But most of the time when we're having conversations, like I feel like when guys look good, I'm like, you look really nice. Yeah. Like, you look beautiful. Yeah. And it's like it becomes this whole ordeal when it really shouldn't be. Because I think we should all be able to compliment each other and like hype each other up.
Yeah.
Like be like, oi, that, where did you get these shoes from? Or whatever it is. Like, yeah. That makes people feel good.
Even like the exchange you had with our videographer.
Oh.
And it was just like about shoes and really, I like your shoes. And you're like, oh my God, you got the same ones. Yes, I love Doc Slides. And then you like, it's like that instant gratification of like, oh, that is cool.
I think we should do it more often.
Even Paulie. That's beautiful. And he's like, thanks.
Yeah, it makes you feel good.
It is. Yeah. It is honestly, that's like the biggest thing I feel like from a men's perspective.
Is that?
That we want. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so.
Yeah, tick.
Okay. Yeah. No, you know, my favorite thing in the world is like, going to like if I'm at a bar or restaurant and I go into the bathroom and I don't know if the same thing happens in the men's toilets, but my favorite thing is like meeting like people in the toilet and like being like, what lipstick is that? Girl, you look so good. Like, it's like my favorite thing. Or being like, oh my God,
that
there's no toilet paper.
Yeah.
Like, there's no toilet paper in this one here. You want some toilet paper? And then coming out and be like, oh, let me fix your skirt for you. Oh my God, like, do you have a tampon? Do you have, like, you know, it's such a communal thing. And you know, when you're standing in line, you're like, oh my God, like, I saw you there. And it's just this beautiful connection. And I feel like hyping each other up. Yeah. And what saddens me is when we don't do that with each other. Because I feel like being able to give joy or give love, even if you don't know the person, it makes people feel good. And it means they're going to reciprocate to other people.
Right.
And I feel like anytime I go out, I feel so safe in a girl's toilet.
Right.
Like, no matter what, I'm like, in a girl's toilet, I'm like, I got girls there.
Yeah.
We're hyping each other up. Right. It feels like a beautiful shared experience, which may sound weird
fucking
to people.
Fucking go into the boys' toilet, there's piss on the ground.
Oh, yeah. I mean, girls' toilets can be disgusting too, but like it's just the woman.
Right.
The woman.
Right. That's really interesting.
Yeah, it's like my favorite thing to do is like just go into the toilets and just be like, oh my God, you look amazing.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's not necessarily you want it back. It's just like, it feels good.
Yeah.
To compliment someone.
I think it's really nice to feel like you help them in their day, eh? Like, that's kind of like my whole goal in life is to help people anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But like making someone feel good, like makes you feel like so good.
That's the best feeling. Yeah. They call it, or I don't think that this is actually the right context, but have you heard of compersion?
No.
So it's the opposite of jealousy.
Right.
So it means that when you see someone in particular that you love or you care for, if you that they're receiving love, you get joy from it. Like you experience like this deep overwhelming sense of like excitement and joy and like pleasure from seeing them experience that. And I feel like when you're able to give joy to people, it makes you feel happy that they feel it or they receive it well. Because you're like, oh, that feels so good. I know how it feels, so it must feel good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a cool thing.
Yeah, compassion.
Like, parents must feel that with their kids, eh? Like, when their kids are loved, they feel happy for their kids. And
I wonder if in polyamorous relationships, if they have higher. Do you know what polyamory is?
Yeah. Could you do that?
Pardon?
Could you do
that? Would I do polyamory?
Yeah.
I've been talking about this with my girlfriends a lot, and they're like, shut up, Tolly, you can never do it. But I'm like, Maybe I could. Never say never. I feel like, honestly, this is my theory, is like, I have so many girlfriends, I have so many friends, I have so much family.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to only one of them for everything in my life.
Mm.
I go to them for so many different things. They guide me in so many different ways. They provide me so many different forms of joy. So for me, I'm like, how could I live just with one person for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
Expecting this relationship to provide me my all the rest of my
life.
That to me, it does feel, I mean, obviously I feel like the glamour of like what we're being painted as children to be like, oh, you find your one true love and you get married and you do all the things that happens. But I feel like I often challenge that in my mind because I'm like, but like, will that one person provide me what I need? Mm. And then I'm like, am I looking at it wrong? Because why would they need to provide me what I need? Well, I should be doing it myself. So polyamory is, I feel like, a very fascinating livelihood.
Yeah. I honestly had this huge, huge, like, like epiphany as a teenager.
Yeah.
Where I was like, well, Pākehā made up marriages.
Yeah.
For...
It's a Western thing.
For royal whānau to get bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
It was just like a way of gaining land, gaining whatever, and gaining power. And I was like, the concept itself of only being attracted to one person and only, you know, wanting to be wanted by one person, all that type of shit, it's not actually natural. Because we grow up in a communal setting where dad taught me how to fish, mum teaches me how to hug and how to cook, and my sisters teach me patience, my brother teaches me my brother teaches me how to give people hiding. So like you grow up taking from all these different energies and sources, that why would this one person be able to hold all of that energy
of that
you're ready to put into them? But the way I've come to learn, well, because I tried polyamory.
Did you?
Yeah,
I did. What was the experience like?
It was like one-sided. It was me pushing that on my perspective on someone else.
Right.
Yeah, and me, like them just agreeing because that was the only way to try it with me.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So that's where...
Mine just got goosebumps because that would be so hard.
Yeah, and I didn't realise
that
it was just for me.
Yeah.
But, what I had come to learn why it would never have worked is because it was all just my idea.
Yeah.
There was no give and take. And it turned to, like, just sex was the goal of that. Like, where I wasn't trying to make connections with other people.
It was just sex.
I just wanted an all-year-round hall pass, pretty much, to not have to deal with being, because I was working at the time and doing what I do, being in three different places, being at home for 1 week and only having 1 week of seeing someone.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So then the travel time, you were like, well, I need to get it on somewhere else. I need some.
Yeah.
Me jerking off is not enough.
Yeah, I know I love myself, okay? I don't need this.
I don't need this validation.
I've confirmed that with myself, So I think, knowing that now, how useless I was as a person, just as a communicator, didn't realise that I had pushed my agenda on them. What I've come to learn with being in... well, now engaged to someone, is that I didn't look to her to fill any cup. Like, I came as a whole person. I came as a whole person. And that's where I was in the wrong with all those. And I was just learning. Hey, kid, just learning.
You were
learning.
Young.
Still learning.
You're 24. Holy shit. You're still figuring it out.
Yeah, still learning. So I think coming into this relationship with a solid foundation of no history, no expectation, and just love being the core of it.
Yeah.
It was really easy to kind of, I think, just accept the other person for who they were.
Yeah.
And honestly, we're pretty much polar opposites in every way. Mm. Like, she's religious, she's this, she's that, and she's never gone fishing before me, none of this, like, pretty much every single way we were different. I'm from the East Coast, she's from the West Coast. Like, our whole worlds are different and perspectives are different. And because I wasn't looking for someone to reaffirm what I already know, I think that's where people get lost, is like they need somebody to tell them, yeah, you are right.
Yeah.
Where I went for her because she was telling me I'm wrong.
Yeah.
In all these places. And we found so much middle ground. I think
it works.
Yeah, what works about it is that I get to learn from her too.
Yeah.
We're not just both blowing shit up each other's ass. Like, are cool. Yeah, we do love you. Like,
no, you're an idiot. Yeah, like,
that's a dumb thing to say. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it was, not searching for empty parts of me.
Yeah.
In someone else.
Yeah.
It was just being happy with who I am. And this person to walk with me.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that people get caught up in is that, like, when you're in a relationship, they think that you have to walk the same path.
Right.
But you guys have to move together.
Yeah.
Because you're a unit now.
As a partner.
Yeah,
partnership.
You're a partnership.
Yeah.
But you have to be moving together. Like, if she's on this hurahi, then I'm on this hurahi.
Yeah.
Just as long as we're moving this way together.
Yeah.
Hey, not that there'll be times where you link in the middle of your road.
Oh,
but
my gosh, absolutely.
You can't be walking the same road.
Yeah.
Because it always ends up in shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're just individuals at the end of the day.
And that's what's most important. What I love most is how you said is, like, we're still our own people. I came whole and I'm not here to, like, get any validation from that person.
Yeah.
And I think, like, that's so important for people to realise how much that can also pull you down. It's, like, trying to live for validation of others.
Yeah.
And live, although we were talking about compliments, which is a beautiful thing, but to, like, live only for that is, like, it's going to be so detrimental to you long term.
Yeah.
So, like, the beauty of your relationship to be so different
and
make it work, how, like, you guys are soulmates. Do you believe in soulmates?
I honestly didn't until I met Che.
Oh, my God. So beautiful.
Because even we were talking about our sexuality, and I was talking about it with Stevie one time, around what my sexuality was.
Mm.
And I always, like, claimed to be straight. Well, I just didn't know anything else. Didn't know any other words for it.
Yeah.
And we were on a show talking about this.
Yeah.
And I said,
shout out
well,
to I.
Yeah, to be honest, if I met Che in a male's body, I'd be happy to be with him the rest of my life.
Wow.
Yeah, if it was her soul in a male body, then I'd have to be with them because I'm drawn to her.
To her either way.
In every way. And it's not like just her and her physical beautifulness that I love.
Yeah.
It's the actual soul.
Yeah. Her as a being.
Her wide way. Yeah. I need it. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I love this.
And then they called me, what, asexual, demisexual or something?
Asexual is
no sex.
Yeah, no sex.
Demisexual,
yeah. Or pansexual, maybe.
Pansexual, that was it.
Pansexual means that you basically fall in love with someone's soul or someone's being rather than someone's gender.
That was it.
Yeah, pansexual.
Because
I
could totally be with
the
male version
intellect.
Of Che.
Yeah, actually. I love that, though, because it's like, I don't think a lot of men talk about this.
Yeah.
That, like, to experience love and attraction is so much more than just, like, a one-sided thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, yeah. Honestly, if somebody was to blow me away more than Che, then I'd be open and honest with Che to say, like, holy fuck, dear, why do I pulls me even more? I don't think, I don't need any more than I've already got from her.
Yeah.
But, like, that's where I know I could be with Atani.
Mm.
Yeah. Not that's in beautiful. Like I'm sexually attracted,
no.
But it's that I need to be with Wairua. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's big for you.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. So
huge.
I feel like, of course, that would make sense.
Yeah.
That's what would pull you.
Yeah.
How beautiful. I love that for you, Tahu. Also, she's a 10. Jay, you're a 10. You're amazing, girl. No, but it's beautiful that you're around beautiful people physically, but most importantly, beautiful parts of people's souls, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, going back on mental health and well-being, I think it really shows that you really have to surround yourself with people that, like, not only, like, support you and you replenishing yourself, but make you feel good to be around.
Yeah.
That, like, are people that you respect, that you admire. My mom used to always tell me that your friends and the people you choose to have in your life are a reflection of you. And I can sit here and say, like, the people in my life I'm so proud of, that, like, I know that when they go out and they say, oh, one of my best friends is Anatola, I'm so proud that's who I'm connected to.
Mm.
And I think, like, that's what's really important when we're building relationships and connections with people. You've been lucky enough to find a romantic relationship. Mm. It's finding people that make you feel good and who you can make feel good. And always, in every way.
Yeah.
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 That shit's elite.
It is elite. It's honestly having a circle, and it's hard to, like, try and explain to someone who doesn't value people the same way.
Yeah.
Because my biggest, like, exchange in my life is time.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the true thing I get to value. I value as, right. as time with people and yeah. time to myself or time, just time in general. And yeah. people who value just things that are materialistic or money or their careers,
yeah.
ka pai them. But it's hard to explain to them that the support systems that I have are literally my oranga. Like, yeah. is literally what keeps me going.
Going, yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing else to my world.
No.
I don't care about, you know, my boat pops tomorrow, then I'll just go.
It is what it is.
Yeah, that's one boat.
Yeah.
But if, like, you know, somebody in that whānau, in my whānau, was to pass tomorrow.
That's different.
Then it's world-ending for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you on that so yeah. hard. I remember I made a decision to move. I'm moving to Tonga next week. I move on Thursday. I know. Oh, my gosh. So I made a decision. Yeah, next Thursday. Next Thursday. Oh, by the way, I'm not going to be here for Friday. no, I leave next Thursday. I know. So excited. And I remember I'm leaving my well-paying job, and I said no to a really big opportunity that was going to pay me more money than I ever thought that I'd ever experience. As a social worker, I was like, what? Social worker paid this in New Zealand? What? I just thought, like, I remember saying no to it instantly. Like, there was no even, like, side. And I remember feeling so afraid to tell my family that I was, like, and I was trying to figure out a pitch. How am I going to sit down with my mom and my dad and my stepdad who are, like, basically, like, my dad and my stepdad are immigrants, and my mom is, you know, a hardworking Māori woman. But I was just so worried that they were going to judge me for it, because they were like, why the fuck are you going to Tonga getting, like, 14 baanga, which is, like, $8, New Zealand dollars an hour, and in comparison to this? And I was, like, trying to figure out, like, how I was going to pitch this. And all I could come down to is it feels right for me, like, it's going to bring me joy. And explain it to people who do quantify their life by material, how many zeros are in their bank account. It's hard to really explain that. But I feel like what I found is, like, for Māori and Pasifika, when I tell them, it's like, it's my connection to this land that feels like home, like it's my home, even though I've only been there one time. And it's going to bring me joy. But also it's like this, like a service to my grandparents, like, I'm doing this because I love you. I can't give you anything to repay you in my life. I can never, like, what can I give my grandparents to thank them and repay them for the love and the sacrifices they gave for me to be where I'm at right now? I could do nothing, but one thing I can do is return to their homeland and give back all the fruits of all their hard labor and return this love that they gave to me so fruitfully and abundantly. And so I feel like it's all about joy, 2023. It's about returning to, like, pockets of joy, connection, like, feeling good and, like, not harboring on the fact that this is going to give me more this, but more, like, this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is hard in the capitalist world and hard when we're trying to survive in a system that is so debilitating to so many of us.
Yeah.
But, like,
it's massive.
It's huge.
I honestly think that that's probably the best thing you're ever going to... You could ever do is go home. And you're going to, there's, like, no way that it's not the right decision.
No, it's wild.
And for you to take action on it, it's so brave. Because that's where a lot of our whānau, especially my whānau, Māori, that I know, are massive dreamers.
Yeah.
We only ever dreamed big. Yeah. We came all the way to New Zealand on a bloody canoe.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
We're pretty good at it.
Yeah, you're
pretty good dreaming, yeah.
But today, we can't take action.
Nah, yeah.
People, you know, the amount of million-dollar ideas I've heard in a shed party is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And not one of them have come true for them. And it's because there's the security of your home, working income, you know, actual income, shelter, whānau here, and just routine.
Yeah.
It's hard to think, well, if I do this one thing, take action on this thing that I want the most in the world, you lose all those things. It changes everything.
It changes so much.
Yeah. So people, they, you know, they come up with the idea, they do the rangahau, they do the research, they make the plan, and then they get right to that edge, and then they don't jump.
Yeah.
And that's where people say there's no reason having regrets. Yep. That's a true regret for me. As when I thought I got to the edge where I really wanted to fucking do this thing, but I don't jump. You don't take the leap of faith.
You don't take the leap of faith. And you don't realise that actually not knowing is the whole beauty of it. It's like figuring it out. And I think we've all become so comfortable in just knowing everything. Because we're the generation that's like, we're just the how-to generation. We just look on Google and how to do this, how to do that. Yes. And to not know is so scary for us as millennials, as Gen Zers who are just like, want to know all things.
Yeah.
And I love when I talk to my nana, who's an 89-year-old Tongan woman who refuses to learn English. Love that for her.
Yeah.
who just, like, lives in a way of, like, that's just not... Like, her life is just so... I don't want to say simple, because I feel like a lot of people, like, really villain... I not, like, make that out to be a bad thing.
Right.
But for her, it's her faith, it's her family, and it's her joy.
Easy as that.
Easy as that. Yeah. If she's got those three things, she's so set. Mm. And although I don't share the same faith as her, her complete, utter faith in something higher than herself is so greater than anything else. And I think, like, to live your life like that is such a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us don't have that anymore.
Yeah.
Like, she's so comfortable in not knowing.
Just knowing her truth.
She just knows her. She knows herself. She's the expert of her.
Yeah.
And I think that's so, again, elite. You know what I mean? Like, and there's been so many catalysts of what sent me back home. But most importantly, it's like, it's the whole aspect of home and like a sense of belonging that I know for a lot of us, diasporic Pasifika, we don't feel a lot of that oftentimes, especially if you don't know your language, don't know your fam, like you don't know any of that stuff. And I think like, I remember when I first landed on Tonga, and when I put my foot on the tarmac, I just burst into tears.
Right.
And we call it mafana, like that's the experience. And the only way I can like mafana, it's like it's this feeling of like joy. Like I can't even like put it into English words because there's no word, but it's like this overwhelming sense of joy, and you just cry. It's like you'll be looking at the sunset and you're like, oh, this is mafana. So if you got a drink up and Tonga's like, I really mafana, you're safe. That's a good time. But I remember landing in Tonga and I turned to my nana and I was so overwhelmed. And we walked over and her sister was there. She said to me, I still remember word for word, she said to me in Tongan, what you're feeling right now is you're on the land of your people and on the land of your family and on the land of your ancestors. So what Tonga is telling you right now is that you're home and that you belong to her and she belongs to you. And I remember being like, at 14, like, oh, what does this mean for me? Yeah. And now at 30, being able to go back home and experience that for a land that isn't mine, I truly believe that's going to be what's going to provide me care and love that I've been yearning for the last few years.
It's like you're just reclamation, eh?
It's just reclamation that's so real. And obviously, like, it's not, it's quite similar to how all of us are kind of experiencing that. Like Jordan earlier spoke about her going back to her whenua, you know, in Raglan, and being able to experience that in her moana and her marae, like all of that is so important. And I think for us Pasifika Māori or people just indigenous people in general, we often look at mental health in a very Western way because that's what we see so much of it. But to be able to look at it in this way, like reclamation for me, I'm going to be feeling the joy that I've been yearning for, which is going to help my mental well-being, and it's going to provide me the care and love that I want and need. Mm. So I feel like when we try to think about it differently, it's really helpful.
Beautiful. I was this weekend just gone.
Yeah.
Speaking about reclamation, I was at a mokopapa, and that's a moko wānanga for just faces.
Yeah.
Pretty much, and we had four wahine do it on Saturday. And the kaupapa was our nan.
Mm.
She was 78-ish?
Yeah.
I think so. Might be older. I don't want to say
that. She might be older. Okay, who knows?
Nan, like, she's like 65.
She looks great. Either way, you look amazing. Yeah.
But she got her kawai done at that age.
Wow. Oh my God, I saw this. I saw this on your... I think it was yours as Chase.
And... for me, watching that happen, it's like, oh my God. She's gone her whole life. She was through the generation where they got whipped for speaking their reo, and now she's at a generation where she's seen all of her moko wearing it. You know, like all of our mokopuna, we all have it. And for her, it was just calling her. Like calling her home, like hurry up and show me to the world.
Yeah.
Because a thing we think about when you're doing ta is that you're not actually drawing on moko, you're just revealing
it.
What's already there. So everyone's already got their kawai and their matora, it's just up to them when they want to show it.
Reveal it.
Yeah, it's when they're ready, because it takes on its own personality, it takes on a whole nother being. And yeah, it's like they call it a hoa haere, which is like your mate for life, who's going to be there through everything. Like it's like a guiding light, pretty much. And not that she needs one now, because her guiding light's, you know, she didn't have much time. I love my dad. But let's be realistic. Like, she's not at the point where she needs some more assistance in her life. It was like, for her, it was so mamai. Like, I watched the pain because we had just lost her son 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago now. And she had lost her son and she had lost her husband. And I feel like she had all this mamai around not being able to wear it with them.
Right.
And when she finally got it and revealed it, she was like, I did have it with them. Mm. Yeah, they've always seen it.
Yeah.
It's always been here. Like, and I was like amazed. Honestly, when she got up, she come up out of, she must have gone somewhere, because I could feel my uncle and my papa in the room at the time, and we did a haka that she would have her whole life watched her son and her husband do. And when I was doing it, like, it was like she was having like an exorcism.
Wow.
Like, it was like all this like trauma and shit was coming out of her. Like, and I was like, hey. Somebody... Like, at one point, like, because I was feeling really pretty for her and sad, and I felt like I was feeling the wider
wait,
stuff.
check her.
And then I was like, is she all right? Like, I was actually starting to get worried. But she just felt all this wider, and, like, honestly, she walked with a slouch before and things like that, but she just come off this, like, off this table floating pretty much. And so light and all that weight dropped.
Dropped it.
Yeah.
How beautiful.
Oh, there's nothing like it.
You've got to go to Mokopapa. Yeah. Oh, I need to. Yeah. Jordan, can you do it? Jordan.
Yeah.
No, that's
my dad
amazing.
Felt inspired enough that he went to my cousin afterwards who hasn't done, he's only done woman face moko.
Right.
And my dad, who doesn't have his, he's the only person in our whole family.
Wants to.
Yeah. Sat down and he said to us he'll never do it.
He felt it.
Yeah, and he's seen any man. He said, oh, I need to reclaim. Because he speaks Māori.
Yeah.
He grew up, like, he's there's nothing not Māori about him. But he grew up in a place where facial moko was a no.
Yeah.
And not for them, not for common people, all this. And yeah, so for
now
him,
people are doing it.
For him to feel inspired by that, and like, you know, like, not even his son could inspire him. Like, he's got a son and daughter, his wife has it, and yeah, he had to watch our nan.
Mm.
It was the weight, I think, he's seen lift from her,
eh?
Yeah, and I think he carries around all that trauma, too, of his childhood and just intergenerational trauma and mamai that I think he needs
so
to face.
Real. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was... Yeah, there was. I don't know where we're going with that, but
no. But that's. But what I love about that is like, that shit is mental health.
Yeah.
That shit is self care.
Yeah.
That shit is like well being and
that's
looking
where
after.
I was going.
Yeah. I got you.
Thank you. Is that there's no time period.
No.
About when's right.
Yeah.
When's the right time for you? It's around when you know it's right for you.
Also, can I just say, time is such a social construct created by the white man, and it just, it is. And it constricts us, and it makes us feel like we can't go to uni at 40. We can't travel the world at 52. We can't fall in love in our 60s. We can't experience whatever. We can't, we can't whangai or adopt when we're in our, whatever it is. Like, we restrict ourselves to that, and we limit ourselves. We don't experience just life in general.
This is a Pākehā thing,
actually. It is a fucking Pākehā thing.
They throw their kaumātua in rest homes and stuff, and, you know, back in the day. We're supposed to be wrapping this up. Wrap it up.
But, rest homes.
Our people, our old people are our gods.
Yeah.
Walking, living gods.
They're our precious little treasures that mean a lot to us, and they hold knowledge that we want to absorb for the next generation. So, magic.
Honestly, magic.
Putting our outers in rest homes, I'm very much...
How did we get it?
Oh, my gosh.
We're supposed to be wrapping up.
But hey, we touched on many things that we put under the fire.
I don't know what you guys can take from that.
Me either.
Mental health. So, what do we got? We got...
Drinking off.
Hey, yeah, we'll leave you.
That was all you.
The rest is up to you or to find out.
Yeah. Hope you find your joy and your pleasure.
Pick your gym. Yeah, yes. Enjoy your pleasure.
Enjoy your pleasure.
Who you are. That's the coolest thing. Be who you are because there's only one you.
Oh my God, magic. There's a bar.
That's all there is. Hey, you're the easiest person to be in the world.
Totally.
Because that's all you are.
That's all you got.
Yeah, that's all you are.
Yeah, we all can't be Beyoncé's. You know what I mean? Okay, that's
us. The
Thank you so much. We'll see you next episode, and hopefully we'll have a guest with us.
Yeah.
But
to bring us in, hey?
So that I can jump from all places, but I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we will see you next time. Takitano.
Ano.